We live in the age of portable digital technology. I remember vividly being on the playground as a kid and wanting to watch my favorite show. Power Rangers was probably my favorite show at the time. And I just remember thinking, wouldn't it be so cool if I had just the smallest television you could ever imagine, one that could fit in my hands and I could pull it out of my pocket surreptitiously. I don't think I knew the word surreptitiously back then. And without the teachers knowing, just go to a corner of the playground and watch Power Rangers. Well, we can do it now. Our phones have become so powerful that you could get by if you wanted to without even owning a computer. In fact, my mom doesn't use a computer anymore except at work. She uses an iPhone. So, with the power of technology, in the name of minimalism, in the name of utilitarianism, we should all just get rid of pen and paper entirely, right? Not so fast. Hey, it's Matthew, and this is the Matthew Kent Show. Hey, everyone, my name is Matthew, and this is the Matthew Kent Show, a podcast chronicling the journey. From average to awesome, the journey to become healthy, wealthy, and wise. And this is episode number 4, where we're going to talk about the good old-fashioned journal. We're going to talk about why I think journaling is still a relevant habit here in the 21st century. I'm going to talk a little bit about the style of journal I use. It's called a bullet journal. I'm going to give you my best tips and tricks for having a good, helpful journaling habit that adds value to your life. And so first, just a quick story. The year was 2016, almost exactly 3 years ago. And 2016 was a good year. I know you're thinking 2016 was a terrible year, and actually, yeah, it probably was. But for me, it was a pretty good year. I started my first blog. I started my first journal. And I'm not coming at this from a selfish perspective, like, well, the world was kind of messed up, but things were okay for me. One of the ways that I view self-improvement is through the lens of making the world a better place. And so it's kind of an old-fashioned idea, and not that I don't believe in, government solutions and societal solutions and everybody working together and, fix things now kind of thing. I believe that can work, but I believe that everybody has the responsibility to look inward and to, bring order to their own affairs, and that puts you in a better position of being able to help. So 2016 was a good year for me because it was a year of tremendous personal growth, and a big part of that was the fact that that's where I developed a journaling habit for the first time, and it kind of happened by accident. So my mom had been telling me for a while, she'd drop these little hints every now and then that she thought I should start a journaling habit. And she'd mentioned that creative people throughout history have always had a journal. It's been this, thing that you could look back on as this habit that, almost all creative people have in common. Of course, not all creative people, but it's surprisingly common. And my mom thinks I don't listen to her. I do listen to her, although sometimes I don't take action. So I never took action when my mom was urging me on in these things. But I did listen. I did make note of it. I kind of kept it in the back of my mind. And then really what happened is it was kind of randomly that this habit fell into my life. So my wife came to me one day and she said, "Hey, I'd like to buy sort of like a nicer journal. I want to start something called a bullet journal." And I'm like, "What's that?" And she's like, "You haven't heard of a bullet journal? It's like the hot thing on Pinterest and on Instagram and on YouTube. And I can show you all these different examples." And I looked at them with her, and I thought to myself, like, okay, some of the more elaborate ones, there's no chance I have of doing it, but the system itself actually looks pretty cool, and I can kind of see how this could add value to my life, and I've never been especially organized, and I've never done an especially good job of prioritizing things, and I think that this tool can help with that. So in June, I think it was June, might have been July of 2016, we ordered from Amazon Prime our supplies. We got like, journals and pens and those little tiny ruler things. And we started to set up our first bullet journals. And ironically, my wife was the one who's excited about it. She stuck with it for a while, I would say over a year. But at some point, it dropped off, and she went back to a more traditional, you buy the calendar and it's got stuff pre-filled out for you, and you kind of organize your life that way. I really like the flexibility and the possibilities offered by the concept of the bullet journal. So here we are. I'm recording this March 14th, 2019. It's almost 3 years since I started bullet journaling. I am still going strong, and it's definitely one of the habits that adds a lot of value to my life and is one of the things that, just I'm excited about evangelizing, about spreading on, about paying forward, because I believe in it. I've seen good results. I think it's one of those things where it's almost a guarantee, and most things are like this. It's almost a guarantee that initially you're not going to see the kind of results I'm talking about. The value, the benefit to your life of habits like this really accrue slowly over time. It's what so James Clear, who I mentioned in a previous podcast, his book Atomic Habits is one of my favorite books that I read this year. And so he'd call it the compounding, or maybe he'd call it the accrual of marginal gains, little 1% improvements that are hard to notice at the moment, but that they start to stack up and make a big difference over time. And so for me, bullet journaling has absolutely been one of these keystone habits that has been incredibly important to my productivity, my effectiveness, towards my sanity, as I have a lot of things going on at once, and I've just got to somehow find a way to like tune out the noise and to get in touch with what matters. And the journal has just been a great tool for that. I think it can be a great tool for you. So first things first, I've got to stop and defend the notion, because here we are in the age where I'll be the first to admit that the objection, the number one objection against journaling, is 100% true, which is that journals are completely, totally unnecessary in the 21st century. You should never have to use pen and paper again. You should never have to need another device, besides your phone, and maybe, if you like a really big screen, like a computer, a desktop, a laptop, something like that. And it's true. That's true. The journal is completely, totally, 100% superfluous. You don't need it. You can get on fine without it. And it's something that, you should be always be suspicious. Anytime somebody says like you need this in your life, it's like, I really don't need very much. Like food, water, oxygen, sleep. My goodness, sleep. Don't forget sleep. That's about it. And I mean, even, you could say to live in modern society, you need, a smartphone, but you don't need a smartphone to live. So there's very few things that you need, but this one I'm going to urge you to get anyway, to use to build this habit. And so hopefully I'm going to make a good case as to why. All right, so number one, the first reason why I think you should start a journaling habit is because the brain is a factory, not a warehouse. Now, that was a clever little phrase. You might think I came up with it. I did not. It is a quote, and I actually don't remember where I first heard it, but it's written down in my journal, and I attributed it to Mike Vandy. Now, I don't even remember who Mike Vandy is. I think he was a guest on a podcast I was listening to, but I don't remember. But the fact that I don't remember where I heard it really just illustrates the point. The quote stuck with me because I wrote it down in my journal, and the journal can remember it, better than I can. There's that phrase, the faintest pencil is better than the strongest memory. And so here's the deal. The reality is there's lots of things you need to get out of your brain and onto paper, both to just get them out of your head and so that you have them later. So whether it's upcoming appointments or tasks that need completion, notes that you want to remember, half-formed ideas that you need to work on, if you don't write these things down, they'll just get pushed out of your brain as you need mental processing space for other things. And there's a chance you might be able to hang on to a few of them, but for the most part, a lot of your mental energy is just going to be wasted. Number two reason why you should think about starting a journaling habit is that you think better on paper. So, you know, we just covered that writing things down is good for long-term retention because the journal can remember better than you can, but it's also good for working through a problem with your short-term, you know, cognitive capacities as well. So if you're working through a problem and trying to brainstorm ideas, when you write your thoughts down, you're better able to objectively see, quote unquote, your ideas because you can actually physically see them as they're written on paper. So like, for instance, you know, if you're brainstorming ideas, it can help keep you from dismissing good ideas that didn't initially sound good at first. Sometimes it's not until you give something like a second or a third thought that you really realize, like, wait a minute, there's potential in this idea that I just dismissed at first. So it can help lead you to a eureka moment. You know, it helps you, you know, if you just start writing things down, it helps you just get into that flow of coming up with the next idea, and, you know, just keep the pen or the pencil moving. And then it helps you come back and evaluate, like, what's the stuff I can just scratch out? What's the stuff that I want to keep and have become the backbone of this thing that I was working on? Number three, why you should start a journal is to have everything collected in one place. You know, you can have your calendar, you can have your to-do list, you can have your, you know, all your brainstormings, and I call them brain dumps. You know, you can have outlines for, you know, your next blog post or different things like that. And the cool thing is, you know, when you have everything collected in one place, you know, your thoughts from the day, all these different things, it can start to give some context to your entries. So you can look at something that you wrote down and you can know when it was and you can know what else was going on at the time. And you can start to create a map of the evolution of your thought. And I love flipping through the pages of my journaling, and I love seeing the things that I was working on, the kind of goals that I had, the things I was excited about, the things I was grateful for, and the things I was learning over a certain period of time. And it can help remind me of where I've come from and where I'm going and give me a sense of progress and like, oh, okay, I remember when I was learning that and I've come so far since then. And it's really just a great tool, a great thing to be able to have, a great thing to be able to do, to be able to step back and sort of objectively look at, you know, the last month, the last year, and say, what actually happened? How did it happen? What was I learning? What was I doing? What were the results? What was I grateful for? Powerful, powerful stuff. Number four reason why you should pick up a journaling habit is because journaling boosts your confidence and self-esteem. So it's important to consider the fact that every action that you take is making a case to yourself about a certain identity or belief. And so what are you telling yourself when you write things down in a journal? You're telling yourself, my life is important and it's worth thinking and writing about. That's a powerful statement. And it's a whole heck of a lot better than sort of the self-defeating attitude that is way too common and way too easy for people to fall into. So I love this quote. This comes from Rachel Wilkerson Miller. She wrote a book called Dot Journaling. And she says, writing about yourself and your life, even just brief notes, is a huge privilege. And that writing can be incredibly liberating. Writing in a diary is, at its core, a declaration that you're voice matters. To that, I say, yes, I completely agree, Rachel. All right, the fifth reason why I think you should develop a journaling habit is because writing by hand is a sweet spot. So here's the deal. You need language to organize your thoughts. I don't know if you know that, but you can't think without language. You can think faster than you can speak, and you can speak faster than you can write. Now, most people, not everybody, but the people who aren't, again, I think I mentioned this in another episode. It's funny it's coming up again. I don't know, you just need to get better at typing. Most people can write faster when they're typing than they can writing by hand. So this means that writing by hand is sort of this unique opportunity. It's almost as slow as you can go when recording your thoughts. And that gives you some time and it gives you some freedom and some wiggle room. You can, you know, think ahead as you're writing. You can reconsider what you're writing as you're writing it. You can improve your thoughts as they're coming to you. And so I'm not saying this is the best way to work through your thoughts or the only way. I'm certainly not it, but it's a very good way that you lose if you get out of the habit of writing things down by hand. So I still think that writing things down by hand has a place in everybody's life, whether they realize it or not. Reason number six why I think you should keep a journal. A journal is a fantastic record of your inner life. So I love looking at my old journals, and I love seeing an unexpected memory and remembering the feelings that I had in the moment. And I love the opportunity that these things have, you know, for posterity, for the fact that I can pass them down onto my kids. And so they can, you know, because right now, so my kids are 5 and 3. They love me. They love spending time with me. They're not going to remember a lot about this time. And they're not really going to get to know who I am right here and now and have that be part of them later on. I mean, indirectly, they will. Hopefully, and I'll impart wisdom and lessons to them, stuff that they don't necessarily remember as coming from me. But won't it be cool where if they want to, and hopefully my kids will love me and be that interested in me, that they can kind of look through and get to see kind of who I was. I remember a few years ago when Sarah's grandfather passed away, and we, you know, went for the funeral. And of course, it was a very sad time, and you know, having that loss. But the moment of greatest joy was then going through all of his things and discovering all the old, you know, photo albums and things of that nature, and getting to look through and feeling like you get to connect with a loved one anew and in a new way. And the journal can absolutely do that for you. Number six, a journal is a keystone habit. So look, where you go in life is going to in large part be determined by what you do every day, right? Your future is going to be the outcome of your habits. And the thing about habits is that they can be tough to form. So because of that, the best habits are the habits that help you form other habits. In other words, a keystone habit. So a journal can do this for you. It creates a place where you can formulate plans for, you know, what habits you're going to prioritize. You know, it gives you a place to track your progress and a place to reflect on the effectiveness of your strategies for forming habits. And, you know, you get the ability to diagnose what's going wrong, to think through it, to brainstorm and to problem solve. And, you know, one of the most popular features of bullet journals, and it's not a feature of the original bullet journal, but it is the habit tracker. And so this kind of goes along the lines of the what's called the Seinfeld method, the putting the X on a calendar method. And, you know, his advice to a up-and-coming comedian was, look, write one joke every day and get a big calendar and put in a big X on every day that you write a joke, and your only job is to keep the streak going, which will be pleasurable and motivating. Keeping the streak going, it provides motivation. One of the biggest problems with good habits is that they're not pleasurable in the moment. You need to make them pleasurable in the moment. And so like for me, for instance, you know, one of my big habits that's helped me out has been waking up early. It's the reason I've been able to record this podcast. I wake up early before work. And how I form that habit is with this habit tracker and, you know, putting the X down every day, because it's not pleasurable to wake up. So it is pleasurable to have that feeling of accomplishment of putting the X down on paper. And it helps tell my brain, like, hey, this was good. It was pleasurable. Let's do it again. All right, last one. Journaling helps you live life on your terms. Now, most people spend all day reacting to other people's demands on their time. And this starts like really early in the morning. Most people wake up, they pull their phone over to them, they check their email or you know, some kind of news feed or social media, Facebook, Twitter, etc. But what are all those things? What is email? Email is a catalog of other people's demands on your time and attention, which is fine. And I'm not knocking email. And, you know, in a lot of professional settings, email is very important. You need to answer your email. You need to, you know, don't be rude and just blow it off. But at the same time, you need to be aware of what it is. And so what if instead of checking your email first thing in the morning, you spent some time considering the day in front of you on your own terms? And you wrote down in your journal the things that you most hope to accomplish, the ones that will move you the furthest towards your most important goals. Doing this for one day won't make a big difference, won't make much of a difference at all. But doing it consistently over time will help you take control of your life. All right, so I rest my case, and now I'm going to talk a little bit about my journal. And, you know, I'll put links to everything that I mentioned in the show notes. You can find those at thematthewkent.show/4. This is episode 4, so thematthewkent.show/4. And I use a style of journaling called a bullet journal, invented by a guy named Ryder Carroll. And the actual physical journal that I use, it's a black dotted medium-sized journal from a company called Leuchtturm 1917, or maybe that's just the name of the branded name of the journal itself, but Leuchtturm 1917, it's German, it means lighthouse, and 1917 was, I think, the year the company was founded. It's a great journal. You know, Moleskine is a popular brand as well. You know, I like the Leuchtturm. The pages are already numbered. There's an index in the beginning, which are like a table of contents that you can like fill in yourself to record where different pages are that you want to remember. So it's a great journal. The dotted, I think, is absolutely the way to go. If you want to do like creative stuff, the dotted helps keep things, you know, it makes it easy to make, you know, drawings and lines and that kind of thing. I don't do much of that anymore. I did a little bit of it when I first started, but even just, you know, creating some elements or, you know, making a like columns or doing whatever you want to do, it's much easier when the dots are there. But the thing is, the dots kind of are not very noticeable once you put pen to paper, because the ink of the pen is going to be so much darker than the dots. So it kind of has that clean look of a blank page, but it has that structure, you know, kind of like gridded paper that really helps you organize things and build things in there. So kind of the core components of the bullet journaling concept, as far as I can see it, there's like four. There's the concept of rapid logging, the future log, the monthly log, and the daily log. And then it's endlessly flexible and customizable. So there's things that you can add. There's different things that you can do. I read Ryder Carroll, the creator of the bullet journal, actually wrote a book. I can't remember, it's called the bullet journaling or the bullet journal process or something like that. I'll put a link to it in the show notes, but I read that and it was really good. Had a lot of good thoughts about journaling and a lot of good examples of what other people who have taken the bullet journal and run with it have done with it. But there's these core things that make it so useful and easy to use. And so one of them is called rapid logging. And the idea with rapid logging is that you can just write stuff down, just kind of dump it on the page, and then worry about categorizing it with like these little tiny symbols called bullets and signifiers later, which is really easy. So like, for instance, the bullet point, which is where the bullet journal gets its name from, that represents a task. So if you put that little, you know, black circle or whatever color pen you're using, that means that like this is a to-do item. If you put a little hyphen before something, it means it's just a note. So there's not an actionable item here. It's just something that you wanted to remember or write down. You know, if you have like an appointment or event, you can just do like a little open circle is pretty common. And then you can put, you know, so everything will have like one of those little bullets. And then you have what's called a signifier, just adds other important information. So for instance, if I have something that's a bulleted item on my bullet journal and it's really important, I might put like an asterisk or a star next to it. And that means important. Or if it's got like a hard deadline associated for it, the one I use for that is an exclamation point. And I put these to the left, so like you'll see like exclamation point and then, you know, bullet and then a short description of what the thing is. And, you know, I'll put a picture up in the show notes where you can see sort of some of like the bullets and signifiers I use. I've made a couple of videos about my bullet journal, and hopefully those are helpful, because it's helpful to see these things as opposed to just like talking about it on a podcast. But that's kind of the system that I use for that. And, you know, then you have the future log. One of the ideas with the bullet journal is that you just kind of move on to the next page. You know, so it's not like, you know, you're creating the system from scratch how you want it, but it's not like you have to go and like set everything up ahead of time and figure out how many pages you need for this. It's, you know, if you need another future log, like you're going to put one in at the beginning. If you need another one, just put it in wherever your next page is. But at the beginning, it's helpful to put in this thing called a future log. And the simplest way to do it is to just, you know, take about four pages and you divide them up into three sections, which represent 3 months. And so just two horizontal lines across the page. And you know, you can label them January, February, March, April, May. And the idea for this is if you have something that needs to get added to your calendar, but you're not there yet in your journal, you have a place to come back and add it that's at the beginning of the journal. So every time you move on to a new month, you'll have like a different, you know, spread set up for each month. But each month when you set that up, you'll go back to your future log and you'll say, well, is there anything that I already recorded that needs to go in this month? So you have the future log and then you have the monthly log. And I think the monthly log and the daily log, the last two components of the bullet journal, are probably the ones that you'll use way more often than the future log. And so the monthly log is kind of like your calendar for that month. It has all your appointments and your all your to-do items. And, you know, it can sort of have anything that you need to remember. So if there's any important notes that you need to put for that month. And then, you know, usually the way you do it, the way I do it is on, you know, you have two pages on a spread. So on one side, you put all the days of the month. And on the other side, you put all the stuff that you, you know, the appointments that you have, the stuff that you need to get done, or appointments that you want to make, and different things like that. And so you can like start assigning it to days, right? Because you have on one side, like all the stuff, and on one side, all the days, and you can start, you know, playing the matching game as needed. And then there's the daily log, which is just the catch-all, and it's where most of the action actually happens. And so, you know, you just put today's date, you know, at the top of a page, and or halfway down the page, if that's where you left off yesterday. And that's where you put your daily to-do list, you know, anything you want to remember, any thoughts you have, any notes you have, or just anything that you want to put in your journal at all. You know, you don't necessarily need to worry about where it goes. You know, just put in the day log. If you want to create like a special collection for it later, it's like a unique thing. And like, oh, like, hey, wait a minute. Like I started today to start to plan a vacation. And, you know, maybe it'd be helpful to have all my notes in that on one place. So, you know, you started it in the daily log and then you create its own special thing because you realize it needs it. That's fine. But the daily log can be like this catch-all, so you don't have to worry about where to put things. And, you know, I think it's helpful with the daily log. I've had different habits regarding this. I think the most effective, and I'll fully admit to you my own weakness, and this is not where I'm at right now. I'm not doing this. I think the most effective approach is to start each daily log the night before. Not that it takes a lot of work to do or to start up, but I think that if the night before, like right when you go to bed, you have your journal by the nightstand, and you pick it up and you write tomorrow's date on it, and you take a bit of time to think about what are the things that really need to get done tomorrow. You know, what are the things that you hope to accomplish? And you have that opportunity to actually prioritize. You know, this might be like pseudoscience, but I'm a firm believer. I mean, you know, there is science behind that. When you go to sleep, you know, your brain is consolidating information and memories and this kind of thing. But, you know, I think it's somewhat open to suggestion. And so, you know, if you put in there that, you know, here are the three things that I want to get done tomorrow, when you wake up, you know, it's a lot easier to be motivated and to get started on those things because you've already, you know, sort of slept on it, as the common phrase goes. So I think the best way to get started is the night before. You know, reflect on what your priorities are, write it down, and then the next morning, you know, wake up and you can get started with other aspects of the daily log. So like for me, for instance, there's several things that I have in there every day. And one of them I mention on this podcast quite frequently is gratitude. So three things that I'm grateful for every day. It's got to be different than the day before. It's one of my, you know, keystone habits in creating a positive mindset. And another thing that I do every day is, and I give credit here to a guy named Matthew Dix. He has this podcast called the Speak Up Podcast. Although I heard it when he was a guest on the Art of Manliness podcast. It's something called Homework for Life. And which sounds bad, like, oh, geez, I don't want homework, but it's pretty easy and it's valuable. And he teaches it actually for the for the purpose of getting you to get better at telling stories. Because he says everybody's got these stories to tell and you just don't know it. And so the idea of homework for life is every day you ask yourself the question, what made today different from any other day? And then you just answer the question. You can do it really short, like one sentence if you want, or you can elaborate. And so this adds, you know, an opportunity for reflection and for, you know, sort of talking about my day. And so I don't do like a whole like dear diary, you know, and that kind of thing. And, you know, just spill all my guts for like, you know, a page. You can do that if you want to. But, you know, I just, you know, very briefly will write down, like yesterday it was silly. Yesterday, the thing I wrote down for my homework for life was that I used the elevator at work for the first time. Sounds kind of goofy. So that, you know, there's three buildings at my work. I work in the middle building. It's one story. The administration building's next door, three stories. And one time what happened is I had to use the restroom in the other building because they were cleaning the one in my building. And so I walked over there. And I'm like, well, you know what? This is kind of a short, pleasant walk. And it's an excuse to get outside for like just a second. And, you know, they say you should, you know, every like hour or something like that, which I don't do, you should like get up because sitting is killing us and all of that. I don't do that. So I figured, you know, hey, you know, I usually go to the restroom a couple of times a day. Like maybe I'll just take an extra couple of minutes on that trip to move around a little bit and to, you know, not die of chronic disease in the long term. And so yesterday what I decided to do was to, instead of just using the restroom on the first floor of the admin building, to walk the steps. So that's my little activity and my movement up to the third floor. And then what I decided to do, for whatever reason, I'm like, well, you know, I've heard, you know, walking down the steps is not as good for you as walking up the steps. Like it's not as much energy. And it's, from an orthopedic perspective, it's like worse on the knees, more wear and tear on the knees. So literally this is what I did. It's weird sharing this. This is like oversharing. That's okay. You're welcome. I walked up the steps, took the elevator down to the bottom, walked up the steps again, used the restroom, took the elevator back down, and then walked back to my desk. Took me an extra like 3 to 5 minutes. But I'm healthier for it, and my knees are thanking me. So that was my homework for life yesterday. I took the elevator at work for the first time. You know, I think it's just a way for me of, you know, having that actual journaling, like diary component of like recording what happened in the day or what was noteworthy. It's a great question. You know, what happened today that was different than any other day? And I think it's really important to remember, you know, if you're starting a journaling habit, don't go big, go small. And this comes from a guy named Greg McEwen. He wrote an amazing book called Essentialism. And he specifically talks about habit formation, and he specifically talks about a journaling habit. And he says, look, just don't do too much. Stop when you're ahead. You know, forming a habit's a hard thing to do. And if you make it too tough on yourself, like, oh, I'm going to do all this gratitude, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do the other thing, and then, you know, write down all my tasks and write down notes about this. You know, it's not going to stick. And the way to stay motivated and the way to get ahead is to stop when you're ahead and to, you know, not commit to too much, just commit to a little. And so the homework for life can be that. And, you know, just, you know, not I'm going to write about what happened today. I'm going to ask myself the question, what made today different than any other day? And I'm going to write the shortest possible response, you know, not even a complete sentence, just something that's legible and understandable. And that can be your thing. And so, you know, when it comes to starting a journal, my recommendation, start small, build as necessary. You know, I think ultimately your journaling habit is going to be the result of a lot of inspiration from other people, a lot of experimentation for yourself, figuring out what works, and then ultimately just a lot of, you know, persistence and perseverance and sticking with it for the long term. But it is definitely worth it. I definitely recommend it to you. You know, go to the show notes, thematthewkent.show/4. You can see my journal, get some of your inspiration there. And yeah, I hope that you develop an awesome journaling habit in 2019 or whatever year you're listening to this, if you come back and listen in the future. All right, it's time for a segment called What I'm Reading. And in this case, it is both a book and an article that is based on the book. And it's an article that I had written before, and then it ended up in my queue on my Pocket app again. You know, I guess I had seen it, not remembered the title of the piece, and that it was one that I had read before. I added it to my queue. And then in the course of reading it, I found out that it was a book. And so I grabbed the book from the library. It's called iGen, and it's by Jean M. Twenge. I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing that correctly. And she wrote an article. The article is in The Atlantic. It's called Have Smartphones Destroyed a Generation? So I didn't plan it that I was talking about it this time, as I'm like, hey, journaling, let's reintroduce this analog pen and paper solution in the digital age. But it does kind of fit. And I'm not at all against technology. I'm recording this podcast on a smartphone, and it's the modern technology is the only way that I can get in touch with you. I'm all in on technology. I think we should, you know, embrace it, love it, move forward with it. But I think it's never a black and white picture. It's never, you know, you're either for it or you're against it. It's always more nuanced than that. So, you know, when I say like I'm all for it, I don't mean I'm dismissing any concern that gets brought up against the way that technology has changed. Because I think there's a lot of positives, and there's also some downsides that you need to at least be aware of. And so I wrote a piece about this a while ago, actually. It's called 5 Ways Your Technology is Destroying You and What to Do About It. I'll link it in the show notes. But then I think this is an interesting piece of generational research that's been done that... it's really fascinating. It makes the case that, like, listen, in a lot of ways, the behavior has changed. Like, so the difference between baby boomers and Gen X and the millennial generation was mostly one of worldview or ideology. And it was a slow, gradual thing. And, you know, these things kind of happen. And this is generational change. This is how it works. A lot of the difference between the next generation, which the author here is calling the iGen, which is a nice, clever name for it, is in behavior and like, just acting completely different. And some of it is positive. So, for instance, physically, kids today are safer than they've ever been. And part of that is just, you know, society has become safer. But part of it is their actions have gotten safer, right? So, drinking and driving, part of that's just because of less driving in general, and they're waiting longer and longer to get their driver's license, you know, less crazy partying and drunkenness, less teen pregnancy than ever before, which is all great. And those are, you know, you want things to move that way. But the dangers, a lot of them are, you know, mental. And she makes the case, even in the subheading of the article, that like, listen, kids today might be on the brink of a mental health crisis. And it's just one of these things where it's a subtle thing. And it seems like, okay, technology is just another form of communication. But if we're not careful, it can do a couple of things. One, it can remove us from real face-to-face interaction, which in the presence of, you know, FaceTime on the phone seems like, well, we're still getting face-to-face interaction. And then when you're thinking about it, like, not really. I mean, you're not having that experience of having somebody look you in the eyes. You know, they're kind of looking at their own camera, or they're looking, you know, that's the really awkward one when you're on, you know, FaceTime or an equivalent app, is they're looking down in the corner to see themselves as they're talking to you. They're obviously more easily distracted when they're on the phone. You could be more easily distracted. You still get like these notifications that pop up. And, you know, so not only is there less face-to-face communication happening, and, you know, I'm all for the additional connection through social media, through, you know, messaging apps that we get. But it's important that, you know, I think we realize that that's not a substitute for real conversation, for real face-to-face interaction. It's a fun supplement. And so I think, you know, as the technology gets introduced, that's the way it's treated. And then, you know, we're to a point of saturation where that's not how it's being used anymore. It's being used as a substitute, not a supplement. So I think that's a very, that's a very real cause for concern. And, you know, there's other problematic aspects. There's aspects of comparison, and you're seeing everybody else's highlights. And you're also seeing a ton of advertisements by advertisers who have, you know, bought your data from, you know, Facebook. They know exactly what you want. They know exactly how to make you discontent with what you have. And they're using that to their advantage. So I think it's definitely worth a read. The great thing about this one is the article is really long and really thorough and really good. So if you don't want to read the book, I'm just a little ways into the book. The book's pretty good so far. But it's one of those things, if you don't want to read the book, hey, there's a pretty good Cliff's Notes version by the author herself that you can check out. So I'll link to both the book and the article in the show notes. Check it out. I'll link to my article too. It's worth thinking about. You know, the subtitle of my article was something to the effect of, you know, I don't think you need to break up with your smartphone, but you probably need to set some boundaries. And that's just the encouragement I'd leave you with is thinking about that. Like, how am I going to put up some, you know, sensible, healthy boundaries to make sure that I'm in control of my relationship with my phone, not the other way around? Worth thinking about. All right, and the last segment is what I'm grateful for. Every day I write down three things that I'm grateful for. It's a great habit and one I encourage you to have. You have a lot to be grateful for. And this week is just really simple. It's spending time with my kids. And I particularly had an opportunity to spend time with my kids over a long weekend. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I took the day off of work. My wife had the awesome opportunity to go on a girls trip with her friend from college. And from high school too, I guess. You met her in high school. But anyways, her friend Justine, and they went to Maryland and Virginia and West Virginia. And they had a lot of fun. Took some great pictures that I got to see when Sarah came back. And, you know, of course, I miss my wife. And, you know, to some extent, it was a hard weekend. You know, it involved me being really on a lot of the time. I have mad respect for single parents, for stay-at-home parents. Like, man, that is a tough job. And, but man, it was a lot of fun. I'm really grateful for it. And I got to go, we went to the park multiple times a day. We are so lucky to have three different parks within walking distance of our house, really four, but we never walked to one of them. But man, wow, that's amazing. Four. Okay. That'll be something on my, gratitude log tomorrow. Four parks within walking distance of my house. That's incredible. We went to, two of the parks though, multiple times, our two favorite ones. And, you know, we played on the playground equipment. I pushed my kids on the swings. You know, we played Frisbee, played catch with the Frisbee, I guess you could say, played catch with the football. A lot of fun. Frisbee and football, underrated. Like, Frisbee's like 10 bucks. A football is like 20 bucks. 30 bucks for, like, unlimited entertainment with your children. Like, man, what an investment. Go get yourself a football and a Frisbee. You're welcome. All right, that's all I've got for you today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find the show notes at thematthewkent.show/4. And again, just thank you so much. It really means a lot to me that you give me your time and attention to listen to what I have to say here. If you like the show, you can go to thematthewkent.com/podcast. You can find links to subscribe on your favorite platform, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, all that kind of stuff. But what really mean a lot to me is that if you enjoyed the show, if you enjoyed this episode, pass it along, email it, message it, whatever, to somebody who you think would enjoy it. And it's a new podcast, and the only way it can grow is with your help. So thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.